I like an all-star special with the chocolate milk. How you like your eggs? Scrambled and cheesy. Over difficult because life ain't easy. For grits and hash browns, you gotta pay a little more. We'll take them both because we're hardcore. Sausage or bacon? What choice are you making? Don't even ask, just give me the bacon. Did you want a pancake? No, did I stutter? Give me a waffle with syrup and butter. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Oh, man.
Woo!
Rick, that was much better
Rick
than...
Rick Butler with the mic drop.
That was much better than the one he did on the drive. That was much better.
Oh, that was fantastic.
I thought he was much more into this one.
Oh, that was
yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah, well, he was standing up. You get the airflow in the lungs, and you can project better.
For those listening on the podcast, that was my bad. I forgot to start it for the first 5 minutes of the show, and I thought I was like, I have to get this on the podcast. So, I mean, it's a good thing Rick was here, or we might have went the whole show without a podcast.
We should have given him a beat. I
couldn't have done it.
I couldn't have either. Yeah, I don't know why I didn't. I should have at least attempted.
I would have embarrassed myself.
I feel like you were the only one qualified to do so.
I should have given him a beat.
Oh, but it's Friday. That's probably I don't know. I feel like we could only do that on a Friday show, have Rick Butler drop a Waffle House rap.
Like I said, it's why I say every Friday, let's get weird.
Oh, Tennessee going down to Athens tomorrow. And you all have convinced me. I'm thoroughly worried about tomorrow.
What a 180 you have done since yesterday. You were
I
like,
went home.
Like you were like, oh, Mark Fox sucks. Should
he
be
does.
Worried.
He does suck. That is.
Yeah, but
I've not changed my stance on that.
You're a lot more realistic about the game tomorrow, though. I can tell.
I went home. I pondered it.
You pontificated,
and I don't know if we win this game tomorrow. I heard Russell say on the drive that they're calling it a must-win.
Oh, yeah.
Down there?
Georgia's... this team believes they could still find a way to make this tournament.
Ugh.
I mean, they really do. I mean, if they figure out a way to run the table somehow for the rest of this season, which is possible, unlikely, but possible, and then get a win or two in the SEC tournament, probably need at least two, this team's in the NCAA tournament discussion. This is a must-win. You're going playing in front of a sellout crowd tomorrow.
I'm tired of these games. I'm tired of these road games against these...
I mean, that's what it is with the SEC.
These mediocre teams and these awful arenas.
You just have so many teams that are going to be either right outside of the bubble or right on the bubble. And at this point, mid-February, when they're making that push for postseason play, you're going to get the best of every team you play.
You need to see the best of Tennessee eventually, though. You can't have a repeat performance of last week. And I doubt it will get as bad as a 28-point loss. Granted, given the fact that Georgia as a whole is not as superior talented and athletic as Alabama is. However, Georgia has some ballers themselves, like Maiton.
Yeah.
Maiton is all they have.
It feels like but that's the case a lot of times for these teams. Tennessee loses to these Georgia teams, too. Remember Kentavious Caldwell-Pope?
Oh,
how he would gash Tennessee?
Do you remember J.J. Frazier last year? Last couple of years.
I mean,
he was the worst.
Maiton single-handedly... put that. I mean, that Florida Georgia game the other night. I know you didn't watch it. Were you watching it?
I did. Like I said, I didn't keep up with it because I thought Florida had it in the bag in the first half.
How do you know I wasn't watching?
Well, I remember you said you weren't watching. We talked about it yesterday.
Oh,
I have a good memory. We were. And
you're
I,
like an elephant.
I tuned. Yeah,
you don't
I tuned
forget
in
anything.
The last 5 minutes or so, and I mean, Florida had one of those leads in the last minute where it's a 2-possession lead, but they're shooting free throws, and you're thinking, all right, it's over, but it was on. So I kept watching it, and Florida just kept missing their free throws, and Maiton just kept nailing his three-pointers. He single-handedly sent that game to overtime and won it for Georgia.
Do you think Grant can shut Maiton down?
It's going to be a big challenge.
I feel like Florida doesn't really have a big guy that can kind of go up against Mate.
Yeah, I don't think Grant is going to shut him down.
Keep him in check.
I think he can limit him, because here's the thing. A guy like that, Mayton's going to get his. You just have to make sure he's not dominant. Because if he's dominant and that's still all they have, all it takes is just some other players just hitting a shot here or there to keep Georgia in the game or even make sure they win the game.
Well, Georgia is one of those teams that Mayton's got to have a good game, a great game for Georgia to win tomorrow. And so far, the teams that Tennessee has played where that's the case, Colin Sexton, well, he had a great game last Saturday, but that whole Alabama squad had a great game. They just had the best game of their season. But you look at the South Carolina game. Chris Silva is a guy that if you want to beat South Carolina, you got to contain Chris Silva. He's their best player, leading scorer, and Tennessee did that. I think he put up 4-6 against Tennessee.
Yeah, got him in foul trouble too.
When they played in Columbia, I don't exactly remember how he did on Tuesday, but
well, he got in foul trouble this past game. Okay. I thought you were talking about this past game.
Oh well, then both.
Yeah,
but you just gotta contain Mayton, and the rest should take care of itself. And you have to think Tennessee has the size between Grant Williams and Derek Walker. You have the size to keep him in check. But
well, the other thing, too, it's going to be more important for Kyle Alexander to actually stay out on the court and have a productive game. You can't, like, just as the team can't have a repeat of the performance last week, Kyle Alexander most certainly can't. I mean, Rick Barnes came out and said that's the worst game he's had since his first game as a freshman. And that's saying something, because Kyle Alexander he's had some pretty less than stellar performances.
He's come along nicely this season, but he's had some bad games.
So
in his career.
I think if he can be at least a good defensive force down there in the post, I think you have a pretty good chance of getting a W.
Mayton hauls in 8.7 rebounds per game for Georgia. You got to keep him in check at the boards.
He's a senior, right?
Yes.
Why hasn't he went to the draft yet? I thought he was a good draft prospect last year, or am I imagining that?
I have no
because
idea.
He was preseason conference player of the year this year.
I don't know. Tennessee's a 2.5-point favorite tomorrow. I do know that.
That just reminds me, like, Frazier, too, how he was there forever. He'd always give us fits. I'm just glad we don't have to deal with him.
How long was Caldwell Pope there for?
I don't know if he was there the entire 4 years. I feel like he wasn't a one and done, though.
No.
Maybe he stayed until his junior season?
Yeah.
Because that was the season he was SEC Player of the Year, and then he bounced. Yep.
Just win tomorrow. Just win.
Yeah, by any margin. Any margin. I'm not going to complain. Just like I'm not really going to complain after that South Carolina game. Yeah, there's stuff you definitely want to fix in the future, but a win is going to be a win. This late in the season, I'm not going to complain about any margin of victory.
That South Carolina game, you had so many opportunities to seal it, to just end it with minutes to go, but you kept letting them creep back into the game. So for at least that last 10 minutes, you played down to the level of your competition. You've seen that a few times from Tennessee this year, with the exception of that hot streak, the Iowa State, LSU, Kentucky. But you just hope that they don't do that. That's not the mentality this team has to have. You hope that they can put a foot on their neck and finish them early. But if you can't, just get the W. At this point, you can't really afford to complain about margin of victory. Just get the W.
865-546-8200. We'll take a quick break, talk a little bit more Tennessee and SEC basketball, that and much, much more coming your way after this. Back on Overtime, Brandon Orr, Tanner Carson, Lucas Panzeca with you until 8 o'clock on this Friday. We are joined now by Dan Harrelson from Saturday Down South. Dan, how's it going today?
Doing pretty well. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Dan, from my understanding, you've been working on kind of the who Pruitt's adding on the staff, kind of on the off-the-field coaches, the player personnel guys, the analyst roles. So what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's kind of unexpected to to really jump into it this week with Robert Gillespie and Tennessee parting ways. Immediately when that happened, I started thinking, is Rush Probst back in play for Tennessee? Is it actually going to happen? So one guy I wanted to call up who I talked to last month in the recruiting process was Joe Osabet, who his offensive lineman, Giancarlo Valentin, was being recruited by Jeremy Pruitt and his staff. So I thought he was kind of a dark horse. I just wanted to get his thoughts on Rush Probst, and it turned out, you know, he was back in the mix for Tennessee. So that came into fruition. So I think that's a big pickup to have him as an offensive quality control analyst to come on board with his experience in the junior college level. He's a high-paced guy. He's going to fit right in with Jeremy Pruitt and other guys that he has put on his staff just for the energy and what he wants to do offensively. I think it's a good mix just to have him on board.
Hey, Dan, this is Lucas. Thanks again for coming on. Really appreciate it. So what could you tell us about Probst? I mean, first of all, is this off-field staff complete, you think, or is Pruitt just kind of going to be adding guys on? Because, I mean, obviously he's taken after the Saban model, and Saban, it feels like, just adds guys as he wants to. I mean, he was adding guys as late as December before the playoff in terms of quality control. So do you think this is just going to be an ongoing thing, or could we see Rush Probst on Tennessee's off-field staff pretty soon?
Well, Rush can't go off-field just because of the three Tulsa County guys on roster. So he's got to be on-field, and all those spots are filled unless Jeremy Pruitt decides to shuffle things around one more time, maybe move somebody off-field and bring Rush in on on-field. So I don't know. I think he could definitely make a few more changes. But I think for right now, I think on-field may be a little bit set in stone. But as far as off-field, he may have a few guys here and there, like you mentioned, with the Saban model, just trying to get as many eyes to prepare for game on game day. And I think that's what he saw in Osabet, just his model of having answers ready on game day and just playing fast and keeping things simple for the offensive line and just getting back to that style of football.
Dan, you mentioned shuffling things around. Is there any possibility with the addition of Winky, having never really coached running backs, is there a possibility that Pruitt can maybe shuffle some guys around on the staff, maybe move Winky to wide receivers and slide David Johnson over to running backs with him having experience coaching running backs at Tulane?
Yeah, you may see that. Like you mentioned, David Johnson could go to running backs, and maybe a Winky has more of a role with receivers or even quarterbacks. Tyson Helton's experience is really not play calling. It's developing quarterbacks and being a quarterback's coach and having his eyes on the offense as well as a co-coordinator. So we'll see what happens. I think from now and until, I think, March 20th when spring ball does kick off, I think we'll know for sure what happens there. I know they're all in on watching film, talking to a few people up from Hoover last night for the Ladies Vols basketball game against Alabama. They're in town kind of talking about some of their support staff. They're already breaking down film on personnel on Tennessee's team. So maybe once they're in that mode, they're kind of looking at what they want to do position-wise, who wants to work with the quarterbacks, who goes to running backs, wide receivers, et cetera. So we'll see what happens there.
Dan, and you referred to the departure of Robert Gillespie. With that, because I think all Tennessee fans were pretty taken aback, and Pruitt obviously swooped in, moved quickly for Winky. He knew who his guy was. Do you think that he kind of wanted to feel things out for Gillespie, or do you think from the start he knew he didn't want him on his staff and just wanted to hold on to him for signing day? I mean, what did you really get from that? Because obviously we know now it was all on Pruitt's end.
Yeah, I think it was more of a deal and a situation where he just wanted to get a feel for him, because he said when he came back from Alabama, when he announced Robert Gillespie, he didn't give him a specific role. That he was one of the guys that he did not work with, but in the interview process, he kind of stood out to him a little bit, but that's as far as he went. So maybe he just felt like the energy was right to go with guys that are a little bit more high energy, with Chris Winky that he's familiar with at Alabama, and then Osabet, who he's known for some time now. So could have been a situation like that. He just felt more comfortable with them going forward.
And all these off-field guys, the quality control and whatnot, what could you tell us about, Montario Hardesty, what his role is going to be with this team? Because I feel like, fans don't really have an idea when these off-field guys come onto the staff what exactly they're doing. What do you know about what Hardesty's role is going to be?
Well, usually they just have a hand in helping game planning for each specific game with the personnel. That's what Montario Hardesty is going to do. And I think it's huge to get him here at Tennessee just because he knows the program. And obviously Jeremy Pruitt sees something in him. He had a nice little gig at Florida Atlantic with Lane Kiffin. So for him to leave a guy like Lane and come back to his school kind of speaks volumes just because he may not know what he's getting into totally with the coach and Jeremy Pruitt and leaving his old coach and Lane Kiffin. So I think there's something there that Pruitt likes. And another ball that's coming back, he's actually going to be the director of player development, Kevin Simon. I think that's huge to have him back too, have a couple balls on staff.
Okay, yeah, because I think a lot of fans were wondering what exactly Simon's role was going to be too. But keeping it on offense with the addition of Joe Osovit, we saw Bruce Feldman put out a good piece on him. He was the JUCO Coach of the Year in 2014. But it's well known that his offenses, I believe, up in Brooklyn were RPOs and doesn't exactly fit with what Tyson Helton is planning to do, or at least what we think he's planning to do with more of a pro-style offense. What do you think it is about Osovit that made Pruitt want to bring him in? Because it seems like Pruitt was pretty determined to work with him at some point.
Well, they could be looking at personnel, too. Maybe he's the perfect guy to help game plan for what they have right now in a quarterback like Jarrett Garantano. Maybe they want to really dig in and just prepare him fully with the RPOs with Osovit's mind. That could be what they're looking at. They may go after a grad transfer quarterback. I don't know. Chris from Stanford, I just don't see him coming here. And the guy, Alex Thompson, he already landed elsewhere too. So maybe there's another grad transfer quarterback out there. I don't know. But it seems to me that they're pretty much set in stone for the moment. And maybe going through spring ball, he thought that was the best idea to have a guy like Osovit kind of prepare Jarrett Garantano and see where it goes.
Dan, we appreciate you hopping on with us. Tell everybody where they can find you on Twitter and anything you may be working on with Saturday Down South.
Yeah, it's at SaturdayDownSouth.com, and my Twitter handle is at Dan Harrelson. Really just working on more staff pieces and just getting ready for spring ball to start up in about a month.
All right, Dan Harrelson, Saturday Down South. We appreciate you joining us again, Dan.
All right, thank you.
Dan Harrelson joining us, talking about the off-the-field hires that Pruitt has been making the past couple of weeks. And kind of like, Lucas, you kind of hit in your question, that Saban's kind of made famous. And Pruitt definitely taken after Saban on that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to start turning into probably the model for most college programs that want to be successful. I mean, there's really no limit to the off-field guys you can bring in. As long as they're not on the practice field, as long as they're not out recruiting, dealing with players, you know, as many voices and opinions as you want in terms of X's and O's and game planning. And I guess it doesn't hurt to have as many as you can. So you've already seen them bring in a couple former players that's got to help out. And then just X's and O's guys, like Joe Osovit, like Bert Biffany. So, it really is the Saban model. It's becoming infectious in college football.
Appreciate Dan jumping on with us. I've got my eye on this Tennessee-Maryland game. The start of the Tony Vitello era. It's very...
Yay.
You got an update?
No, I don't.
Nothing happened?
I mean...
That's shocking.
I mean, I don't know. I don't even know what inning it's in. There's no... little score box or anything like that. It's just one camera. It's a wide angle of the whole field, and that's the only camera I've got.
It's the top of the second. I'm going on Tennessee baseball Twitter.
Any score?
I'm going through here. It looks like it's still scoreless.
Oh, we just picked somebody off.
That's good.
Oh.
Yeah, the last update they tweeted was 2 minutes ago. Top of the second, one out walk for Maryland gives the Terps a base runner. And I guess that guy just got picked off.
We just picked him off.
There you go.
I love a good pick off.
Zach Lingenfelter.
You don't, local kid, Sevier County. You don't see that very often. You don't see the pickoff very often. It's very underrated.
I want the baseball team to do well.
I love the pickoff.
I'm not going to pretend to know what type of baseball program Maryland has, but open up a new era with a win. Can't complain about that.
I'm a little disappointed that there's no score on the Watch ESPN stream, but I'm not going to complain too much. 865-546-8200. Take a quick break. More of Overtime on the other side. Six 30 back on Overtime. Switch back to basketball. Rick Barnes named a Coach of the Year candidate according to Sports Illustrated. They listed four coaches. Rick Barnes, the guy at Clemson, can't recall his name.
I can't either.
Chris Holtman at Ohio State, and Tony Bennett at Virginia.
You're thinking of Brad Brownell or Brownell at Clemson.
Okay. As Lucas stuffs his face with some Jets pizza.
Piping hot.
How is it, Lucas?
It's good. Wrapped up this Hawaiian. Moving on to this banana pepper and sausage. Probably go back for that last slice of Hawaiian unless you guys want it.
I'm good. The Hawaiian pizza. I'm good.
Are y'all pineapple on pizza people?
I gotta be in the mood for it.
I'm always in the mood.
I'm not
for
pineapple
it.
On pizza, but I love pineapple though. But just not on pizza. Not me. Not a fan of it.
I think it's perfect.
What do y'all think about banana peppers? Since I'm looking
I love
at
banana peppers.
I'll put anything on a pizza.
Anything.
Anything?
Even anchovies.
You an anchovy guy? Yeah.
I'm not an anchovy guy.
I'm not
an anchovy guy, but if you give me a pizza with anchovies on it and I'm pretty hungry, I'll
eat
it.
Oh, my God. Ugh.
I'll eat it.
Ugh. I feel like you would eat anything.
Most things.
It's disgusting.
What would you not eat?
The one thing that I've tried.
Now he's thinking about it.
y'all ever had liver? Any kind of liver?
I've not. No, sir.
Just not able to eat liver. But other than that, I have a very diverse.
Like, you ever just go, like, you're going to, like, Food City or Walmart, you go through the meat section. Would you eat pig's feet?
I would try pig's feet.
What about, like, a cow tongue?
I've had cow tongue, yeah. At Korean barbecue place, I had cow tongue.
Ugh. Ugh. I'm no thank you. I don't.
How was it? What was the texture like of the cow's tongue?
Not as bad as you think. I mean, if
what
nobody,
was it? What was the seasonings on the cow's tongue?
I mean, if nobody tells you it's cow tongue, you won't know it's tongue if you eat it. It's like.
But I would want
it
to know.
Almost tastes like beef.
Yeah, but I want to know what I'm eating, and I don't know if I could like. I could get over the mental block of digesting a
cow. See, I don't have a mental block when it comes to that. I mean, I have a very incredibly open mind.
I feel like Lucas
would
go pretty far on Fear Factor.
Lucas, are you eating, would you eat the mountain oysters? Would you eat mountain oysters?
Mountain oysters?
Yes. Are you unfamiliar with?
Yeah, I'm a little unfamiliar.
I am too. Explain.
Bull testicles. Would you eat them?
Oh, God.
Would you eat
them?
Yes. Would you eat them? I hear they are they're a delicacy.
Where?
Everywhere.
I ain't never heard of them.
Not here, but yeah, I'd try them. I'd taste them. I have an open mind when it comes to that. I'll eat anything. Doesn't mean I'll like them, but I'll try them.
Lucas would definitely go far in Fear Factor, especially those old eating challenges they have where they would eat those mountain oysters, and they would eat all the bugs, and they would lay in the tanks with all the insects crawling over them and everything. Lucas would get pretty far. I feel like Lucas would eat some disgusting stuff for money.
I just Googled mountain oysters. And Lucas is having second thoughts, I think. I think he's having second thoughts.
Well, What's your pros? What is your pros for mountain oysters?
When they're just, like, raw, they look like exactly what they are.
I prefer my bull testicles.
But see, when they're fried like that, when they just look like chicken nuggets.
Put them a little bit fine. They look just like hush puppies. There's no difference.
They do not look like chicken nuggets. I don't know what kind of chicken nuggets you're eating.
That right there looks like fried alligator or something. It's just fried. You can't tell what they are. So if you put that in front of me and you tell me what they are, I'm going to take a bite.
Now that looks like a crab cake.
I don't know.
But okay, no. So you'll eat anything.
Yeah.
Would you eat a bug? Like, would you eat a cockroach? If you had to eat a cockroach, would you eat it?
Okay, I wouldn't just taste the cockroach. If it's something that's like a food from another country that other people eat, then I'll eat them. I don't know if anybody just eats raw cockroaches. But
no, I'm not for fun. Say you're in like a Fear Factor.
Oh, so okay, for money?
That's what I'm talking about. All the disgusting things that Joe Rogan used to make these contestants eat on Fear Factor. Stuff like that.
Sure, I mean, I've never been phobic of that kind. I mean, it's like, yeah, you eat it and it tastes bad, but then you swallow it and 5 seconds later it's over. It's like nothing happened. So I've never understood like people being so afraid to eat something, because like it could taste bad and you might not like the texture, but then 5-10 seconds later it's all gone. It's over. You eat it, you swallow it, you digest it, and that's it.
The mental nothing scarring. Happened. The mental scarring will not go away.
I don't have the mental scarring. You gotta have an open mind.
You're a different breed, Lucas.
So you're saying tougher breed.
Yeah.
So you'll do the mountain oysters. What about regular oysters on the half shell?
I love oysters. I don't know what you're asking. What do you mean?
Do you like them?
Yeah, just regular oysters? Yeah.
No, see, no. I can't do it.
If I'll eat mountain oysters and not eat regular oysters, then there's probably something wrong with
them. Well, I mean, the mountain oysters aren't even oysters, so.
Yeah.
I think there's a little bit of a difference.
Yeah, I'll eat them.
It's just the texture of the oysters. Can't do it. I'm not just going to take the shell and just slurp it down. Can't do it.
See, I agree with you that, I mean, anything slurpy or rubbery is weird, but if it tastes good, then who cares? I don't care about the texture if it tastes good. I can deal with the texture if it tastes good.
I have a buddy who has a texture problem with ranch and sour cream. I'm dead serious. He is like definitely afraid of eating that stuff. One time I went through Taco Bell with him, and he said no sour cream on like his burrito or something, or taco, whatever he was getting. And
I mean, I get that. A lot of people don't like sour cream.
They put it on there, and he almost puked. He almost puked when he found out it was on there.
That's so weird.
I've never heard anyone have sour cream. I do, too.
I'm indifferent.
Oh, he hates mayonnaise, too. Absolutely.
I put mayonnaise on my sandwich today.
Okay. So did a lot of people.
Apparently, I googled mountain oysters. I was going through the pictures. Apparently, in Montana, Clinton, Montana, there is a testicle festival. And it is a festival for Rocky Mountain oysters. I don't have the dates for this year's, but apparently it's around the end of July, the 1st of August every year. Last year is August 2nd through the 6th. 2016 is August 3rd through August 7th.
I'm down.
Road trip.
You want to do a live remote from the Testicle Festival?
Clinton, Montana. Clinton, Montana.
Ooh.
They got the website number right here.
They doing any marketing?
I don't know. Call them up and see.
Hey, guys, we'd like to do a live radio show broadcasting live up from your wonderful festival.
I mean, obviously, they do advertising. They've got billboards set up.
I think that'd be so interesting. I mean, just to see, you don't even have to try any of them, just to see the different creative ways that people make and prepare bull testicles.
Aren't John Reed and Cody McClure supposed to go on some road trips this summer? Or am I imagining that?
I don't know.
I remember hearing them discuss going on these road trips and like doing live remotes. Maybe they can make a detour all the way up to the festival up in Montana.
I mean, I want to be at this. I want to go.
Yeah, you mean you can't.
Just for the spectacle, not even eating the food.
It's a life experience. You don't have to eat the food. I'll eat the food. You don't have to.
I mean, if I'm going to this festival, I guess I'll try one.
You're
going to
try the bull testicles.
Yeah, you got to at that point. Especially, like, if you pay so much to get in there. I feel like it would be an empty experience if you didn't at least have a bite.
How the hell did we get from Rick Barnes, Coach of the Year,
to bull testicles?
A festival of them.
I think as we started talking about pizza and, like, what's your toppings, and then you brought the mountain oysters.
Yeah.
I love our little rabbit hole discussions. It's the greatest.
Like, we started the show with Rip's Waffle House Wrap. It's a Friday. It's weird. Let's take a break. 865-546-8200. If you want to join us, if you've ever had mountain oysters, let us know. Let us know. What do they taste like? We'll take a break. We'll be back with more of Overtime after this. I feel like this is the kind of music they play
at the Testy Fest.
At the Testy Fest in Montana, I did a quick Google search of said festival. Apparently, well, they've not set 2018 dates yet, so I'm going to keep an eye out for that. But $20 general admission. If you want to camp there, $35 for tents, $75 for RVs. This is what you can expect. There will be new contests. Primetime DJ will be assisting to make the stage sound presentation and production eye-popping and jaw-dropping. New acts, headlining acts, bands, DJs, and sideshows. Enough to satisfy everyone from all walks of life. A mountain oyster eating contest, vendor booths, and it says so many bands, acts. Oh, it says okay. Never mind. That's it. The mountain oyster eating contest is like the that's like the grand finale. Apparently, that's what everybody comes for. Okay, so the rest is just Annette saying that they'll announce the bands in the coming weeks. No pre-sale tickets. I am genuinely intrigued. I wonder how many people go to this thing. I feel like, Lucas, I feel like you could have a real shot at winning the eating competition.
Because
there can't be a lot of people that go to this thing. There can't be.
I mean, yeah, I'll try anything, and I can eat a lot, but the people in those competitions are another level, man. I mean, have you ever watched a hot dog eating contest?
Well, I don't think this is going to be anything like a hot dog eating
contest. I don't know. I think everywhere you go, there's people that could eat ungodly amounts of food. I can eat a lot, but not enough to win a contest. I wouldn't want to do a food eating contest. That's no fun to me. Just stuffing as much as you can down.
I'm curious as to how many mountain oysters Joey Chestnut can consume. That should be the next feat he tries to do. Brandon, you think a lot of people probably don't go to this, but watch it just be like something that's deeply ingrained in the state culture.
I'm looking at some pictures, and it's... I mean, there's probably at least 100 people in some of these pictures, and I can't say that I'm surprised at what the people that go to this are look like. I'll have to show you during the next break.
Please.
Oh, these are some gems. But anyway, as I mentioned earlier, Rick Barnes, Coach of the Year candidate, according to Sports Illustrated. Pete Thamel was on Feinbaum today. Pete Thamel was on Feinbaum today and had this to say about Brucey Boy Pearl. He says, "I would be stunned if Bruce Pearl is the Auburn coach next year. I can't wrap my mind around him being back. just using common sense. I mean, this is what we all expect, right? We don't. Nobody thinks that that Pearl's coming back, except some maybe some delusional Auburn fans.
Definitely some delusional Auburn fans. He didn't do nothing. It was all Chuck Person.
But did you see this? Joe Lunardi, known bracketologist, who Lucas says is a bunch of baloney. Joe Lunardi has Auburn as a one seed in his latest bracketology. If the tournament were to start today, Auburn would be a one seed.
Yeah, after Purdue slipping up, the Boilermakers have lost three in a row now after last night they lost on the road at Wisconsin. So, yeah, it could happen. Auburn could get that one seed. They could go pretty far, and then whatever happens, it's going to end with Bruce Pearl in handcuffs.
Yeah, you got to think that Bruce knows. His team probably knows. Most Auburn fans know that this is it. This is their one year on top. Let them have fun with it.
And like we talked about last night, I mean, they're going all out. They are holding no punches in trying to have the most successful year they can, because they know it's going to go downhill very quickly. Auburn, who has not made a tournament since 2003, since we all were in elementary school, it might be the same.
2003.
Long drought.
I was in fourth grade. Wow. Bruce doing the thing he does well. Tennessee hadn't been to the tournament. It hadn't been that long. But when how long had it been since?
2000, I think.
So about 5 or 6 years.
2000, 2001, one of those two.
So about 5 or 6 years.
Because you never made it under Buzz, and I'm pretty sure Jerry Green's last season, like, he collapsed so bad near the end, you didn't make the tournament that year. So I think 2000. But nothing on the level of the drought Auburn has had, though.
Right, but then that first year, Pearl had Tennessee as a two seed. Can he do it at Auburn? I know it's not his first year, but it's a little bit different, Tennessee and Auburn, when we're talking basketball. A one seed for Auburn?
I don't think he'll end up being a one seed. I mean, the way they're going right now, I don't see, in looking at their future schedule, I don't see any way they haven't had at least a two wrapped up. So one could very well happen, especially if your Purdue's, your Duke's, Kansas too, to an extent, they just keep slipping up. I mean, that's going to bolster their resume to be a one seed.
Still would be very surprised if Auburn ran the table in these last five games here.
Who they have?
Going to South Carolina tomorrow.
Win.
Yeah. Alabama at home on Wednesday.
Revenge. Win.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if they got swept by Alabama. On the road at Florida on next Saturday.
Tough.
On the road at Arkansas a couple days after that, and you finish out with South Carolina at home. So
I don't see them losing.
I don't see no more than one loss. I mean, I don't see no more than one.
I just don't see them going 3-0 Alabama, Florida, Arkansas in 1 week. Two of those on the road.
I think it'd be tough, but I don't know. I'm not counting Bruce Pearl out of anything. Not after what he's done already. Oh, Bruce. Would you take him back?
Right now?
Well, not. Okay, let me rephrase. Would you have taken him this year knowing that it would end the way it's going to end?
I mean, no, because if that means you got to completely start over again after this season, then no.
Yeah, it
no, I'm not going to take the guy with the
FBI investigation. Yeah, especially if the NCAA does something to your program, too. That's going to be even longer until you can be successful again. So, no, I wouldn't take it.
No. Now, you...
You hate Bruce Pearl, don't you? Hate Bruce Pearl.
Bruce sucks.
No, I miss Bruce Pearl, and those years were amazing years.
If I would want to relive those years again, sure.
Yeah.
But no, this is his last little finale. He's coming back on stage to do his encore before he gets pulled off.
Yeah, Tennessee fans just feels like the majority still have this infatuation with Bruce Pearl. I just don't think will ever go away.
I don't.
You know what's this weekend? Either of you? Major, huge sporting event.
Is it the 500?
The dunk contest?
The Daytona 500.
I thought it was 500.
Are you fired up?
No.
Lucas, are you fired up?
I mean, nah.
I'll pay attention to who wins. I don't think
you
I'll,
won't watch.
I might watch the start.
Watch like the last 10 laps.
Yeah, in the end.
You're gonna sit there and watch it for
3 hours?
I'm
not gonna
watch
the whole. No, not the whole thing. I'll watch the beginning. I'll do something. I'll check back in, and then I'll watch the end.
I'll watch the last 20 laps because I do like if it's a photo finish. Because I think last year the Daytona 500. I can't remember who won, but I think it was a photo finish last year, or maybe it was the year before that. I mean, inches. Talking inches.
I love NASCAR. Call me a redneck if you want to.
No, I mean I'll never hate on NASCAR. NASCAR is always, I think it's always fun to watch when it gets to
it's
like
the Great American Race.
I grew up loving NASCAR, so yeah, I'll still pay attention to 500, but I haven't really kept up with NASCAR in years.
Who you want to win?
Probably Chase Elliott.
Growing up, my favorite racer
the legacy
was when I was a kid growing up. My dad took me to a couple of Talladega races.
Ugh.
And the first race he ever took me to when I was like 8 or 9, Tony Stewart's car he wasn't even in his 20 car. He was in like a 33 car, a different sponsor. And it did like 3 flips, landed on. And as a little kid, I'm like, he's dead, right? Like he's not coming out. And then he came out, started fist pumping. Ever since then, when I was a kid, Tony Stewart was always my favorite racer. But then he killed a guy.
Oh my God!
Oh, Lucas.
Oh, my God.
But he didn't
I lied to him, but then he killed the guy.
Oh, no, my. I still like him. He didn't have a purpose.
You've been doing that a lot recently, Lucas. Just steering us off a deep, dark cliff.
Driving us into the deepest, darkest pit of AM radio.
That's what we are, right?
I will be.
What they say we are.
I will be firmly cheering for Kevin Harvick.
See, who is the common fans supposed to cheer for now, because there's
no
Gordon.
Dale.
There's no there's no Junior this year, but there's been no Gordon, no Smoke.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I mean, Harvick is a veteran.
Is Jimmy Johnson?
Yeah.
Boo. Nobody likes
Jimmy. I think he's
Johnson.
One of the reasons I quit caring about NASCAR, because he'd win.
Nobody
everything.
Likes Jimmy Johnson. How about Bubba Wallace?
Oh, VFL Bubba Wallace.
Yeah.
I forgot he's driving the 43.
Yeah.
There's your guy.
Okay,
yeah.
Never mind. I've got a new favorite, Bubba.
I'll be pulling for Bubba Wallace, I'll be pulling for Kevin Harvick as well. Daytona 500 this Sunday. Hour number 2 of overtime coming up.